Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
Okay, we are in 2 Chronicles in chapter 11, I believe. 2 Chronicles chapter 11. Let's pray before we start. Thanks, Lord, for your work in the India team. Thank you, Jesus, for all the people who came to know you through that. And Lord, the impact that these guys got to have on all the people that they ministered to. God, I just thank you for the offerings that were given for that. And even a lot of that money came out of the tithe money, too. And so, Lord, these guys who come to our fellowship were involved in that whole thing. And Lord, we just bless you for that. Father, we pray that as we're getting into your word, that you would make it something that's alive, something that's powerful, something that will turn our hearts around and help us to follow you with a full heart. God, thank you for the examples that we have in the Old Testament. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us to take the things that we see to heart, and that because of the time and the word, we get closer to you. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're in chapter 11 of 2 Chronicles, starting in verse 1 there. It says, "Now when Rehoboam came to Jerusalem, he assembled from the house of Judah and Benjamin 180,000 chosen men who were warriors to fight against Israel, that he might restore the kingdom to Rehoboam. But the word of the Lord came to Shemaiah, the man of God, saying, 'Speak to Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all Israel and Judah and Benjamin, saying, Thus says the Lord, you shall not go up or fight against your brethren. Let every man return to his house, for this thing is from me.' And therefore they obeyed the words of the Lord and turned back from attacking Jeroboam. So Rehoboam dwelt in Jerusalem and built cities for defense in Judah. He built Bethlehem, Etam, Tekoa, Bethzur, Soko, Adullam, Gath, Marashah, Ziph, Adoraim, Lachish, Azekah, Zorah, Ajalon, and Hebron, which are Judah and Benjamin, fortified cities. And he fortified the strongholds and put captains in them and stores of food, oil, and wine. Also in every city he put shields and spears and made them very strong, having Judah and Benjamin on his side." Let's stop right there and talk about this. First thing, just to bring you up to date on what's going on here, Rehoboam is Solomon's son. We talked about him last week. And when he came into power, one of the things that happened was the elders of the northern 10 tribes came to talk to him and asked him for tax relief, basically. That's what they asked him for. "We want tax relief." And they said to him, your father had a heavy hand on us, and we would like you to be basically to be more kind to us." And so this is the tea party in ancient Israel, taxed enough already. And so they come to him. There is a spokesman that's involved in this whole thing, and his name is Jeroboam. And Jeroboam had been an up-and-coming man in Solomon's kingdom, in the political arena of Solomon. And Solomon had used him as a foreman for some of his building projects. And he was basically somebody that was in leadership in Solomon's kingdom. Well, there was one of the prophets that came to him. And because Solomon had been unfaithful to the Lord and began worshiping these other gods because some of his wives had turned his heart away from the Lord, then God came to Jeroboam through the prophet and told him, "If you will serve me, I'm going to make your kingdom like David's kingdom." Now, you guys know what God had said about David's kingdom, that David's kingdom was going to be a kingdom that lasted forever. Ultimately, the Messiah is going to come, has come through David's kingdom. Jesus is one of the sons of David. In other words, he's an ancestor of David. And so ultimately, David's kingdom lasts forever. And it's something that God had promised to David because of his faithfulness to the Lord. Well, Solomon is the first king after David, and his heart turns away from God. And so God's going to do this thing with Jeroboam. So basically, Jeroboam had to leave town because Solomon went after him. He went down to Egypt, and he comes back up after Solomon dies, and he leads this delegation to Rehoboam. Rehoboam says, give me 3 days. And they did. He went and got counsel. The counsel that he got from the older guys was this: if you will give these guys taxes, if you will take the burden off them, these people will serve you forever. And so he didn't really like that answer. And so he went to some of the younger guys, and they said that you need to come down on these guys. What they're doing is they're taking advantage of you. And so you need to tell them that my father whipped you with scourges. I'm going to whip you with scorpions, which is a scourge with a metal tip on it. And he talked about the fact that his little finger was going to be thicker than Solomon's waist. The idea of I'm going to pour it out on you. And so at that point, all of the northern tribes decided that they were done with Rehoboam and with David and with the southern kingdom, and they took off. And so that's where we're at here, all because Rehoboam listened to lousy counsel. In any case, what ends up happening when you get to chapter 11, Rehoboam is basically tossed out of the northern kingdom, because what he did was, after they had this whole conflict, this whole in-your-face type of thing, where Rehoboam came after Israel, and Israel went, yeah, you can take that and put it where the sun don't shine. They said that in Hebrew. Rehoboam sends his tax guy after these guys. And when the tax guy comes out, they do to him what they probably would have liked to do to Rehoboam, and they stoned him to death. And then they went after Rehoboam. So Rehoboam's on the run. He goes back down to the southern kingdom. He gathers up an army of 180,000, because what he's going to do is retaliate against these people who've turned away from him and dishonored him and turned away from the Lord. And so retaliation is what you have in the first section there. Basically, this is a great picture of how we're not supposed to react many times when people are doing rotten things to us. You know, we all get in these situations where we have conflicts with people, and sometimes the conflicts are self-caused, like in the case of Rehoboam. When Rehoboam's going back after him, I think that there's probably, you know, a couple of motivations in him coming after these guys with an army. One of the motivations is he's the king of Israel, and he's just been dissed by these people, and he wants to come back and he wants to straighten that whole thing out. Don't you talk to me like that. I'm the king of Israel, right? And so there's going to be part of that. I think that there was probably also an attitude about the kingdom of Israel. This is the kingdom of Israel. This is the kingdom that David gave to my father. This is the kingdom that Solomon consolidated. This is the kingdom that's been blessed for 40 years. And now you're going to tear it apart. And he wants to go back, and he wants to keep what God has taken away. There are times when because of disobedience, or because of, you know, the plan of God, that God takes things out of our lives. And we, you know, if God's hand is in this, then we don't need to try to keep it. You know, you cannot build things without the Lord. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. And you can't keep what God has taken away. And so, you know, on some levels, there needs to be just an understanding that whatever I have, whether God's blessed me with it or whether God's taken it away, it's all within the hand of God, and he's the one who provides for my needs. One of the things that he had said to Jeroboam, again through the prophet, was, I'm not giving you the whole kingdom. I'm going to leave two tribes to David's grandson, Rehoboam, so that my promise to David will be fulfilled. God didn't take everything, but he did take most of it. And again, it was because of the disobedience of Rehoboam, the disobedience of Solomon, and there are consequences. You know, there are times when we have conflicts with people, and one of the things that God says in this passage is, when Rehoboam brings this army together, he has the prophet go to him and say to him, thus says the Lord, verse 4, you shall not go up or fight against your brethren. Let every man return to his house, for this thing is from me. So God speaks, don't fight against your brothers. Basically, what God is doing here is removing, God is purifying, God is purging, and he's doing it in both kingdoms. And so there's probably, you know, when we look at the history of the Northern Kingdom from this point on. These guys never had a good king. They never had a year where they ever served the Lord faithfully ever again. Some of the greatest prophets that you see in the Bible come from the Northern Kingdom even after this point, but they're coming from the Northern Kingdom, and basically what they're doing is correcting and rebuking the Northern Kingdom, and that's all that happens with them for the next couple of hundred years until in 722 BC the Northern Kingdom is taken away and they never come back to the land. And so God knows what's in the hearts of people, and sometimes when God is taking something away, the reason may be because he knows it's going to defile what's left. And so God takes away these northern 10 tribes, and not all of them. Some of them came down to the southern kingdom of Judah, and we saw that in the last chapter. The priests and the Levites from the northern 10 tribes come back down to Judah, and everybody who wanted to follow the Lord came down to Judah. And so there was a purging of Israel, the northern tribes, from the southern tribes of Judah and Benjamin, and there was also a purging of the godly remnant from the northern tribes going down to Judah. And so Judah got strengthened because of this abandonment of the kingdom of David, and Israel got weakened because of this abandonment of the kingdom of David. And God is setting these people up so that there is a real difference between the two. There are times when God wants to make a difference. There's a passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 where Paul says, I hear that there are divisions among you, and I'm not surprised by that. And I'm paraphrasing here a little bit, because there needs to be divisions so those who are approved will be manifest among you. You know, a lot of times we have situations where Christians get into an argument, or Christians have some issues with each other over things. And sometimes those things that Christians are arguing about become public. And I think, you know, I don't think that that's a bad thing. Sometimes it needs to be public so that you can see who's the real deal, and the people who, if we were ever under persecution, would bail and walk away. I love being in America. I love the United States. I don't want to see the United States fall apart. You know, I come from a military family, and so I love the United States. I'm a patriot, and in a major sense of the word, I love the United States. And so I've been in a number of countries all over this planet, and there is nothing like what you have here. There's nothing like what you have here. And it's because of the blessing of God on countless people for generations who served and followed Jesus, and their lifestyles reflected those things. And so we are reaping the bounty that God has poured out on a group of people who served him faithfully. And we've got the leftovers of that. That's what we've got right now. And it's looking like we're going to lose it. If we ever lose it, what's going to end up happening is we're going to become like other countries in the rest of the world. We can already see where this is going. I think that one of the reasons that America is under attack is the same reason that Great Britain was under attack in the 1800s and in the early 1900s. It's because they were the major Christian influence on the planet. And so when you go through American history and you look at some of the revivals that took place, do you realize that some of the greatest revivals that ever took place in the United States happened because British men came over to the United States and preached the gospel? And so, you know, when you're talking about George Whitefield, the guy was from Great Britain. And when you talk about John and Charles Wesley, from Great Britain. These guys were British evangelists, and they came over and they turned the United States upside down with their preaching. And, you know, Satan doesn't appreciate that. And so you see an attack on Great Britain during the period of the 1800s and into the early 1900s. At the beginning of the 1900s, they were one of the major powers on this planet. Have you ever heard the phrase, the sun never sets on the British Empire? That's reality. It was like the British had colonies all over this planet, and the sun literally never set on the British Empire. And by the time that we get to World War II, they are in a position where their power is flagging, and they were under attack by Germany. And if it hadn't have been for the United States stepping in, Great Britain probably would be speaking German today. In any case, I think that the reason that that happened was because they were a major influence for the Lord during the 1700s and during the 1800s, and Satan attacked, and he did a thorough job of it. When you look at the United States has been in exactly the same position that Great Britain was in. We're in a position where we are the major missionary country on this planet, in the sense that we've sent out the most people, we have the most influence with the world, you know, for the gospel, for good or bad, because there's some people who are preaching gospels that are just nonsense. And a lot of times these are the things that people pick up in other countries. But in any case, we have been a real force for good on this planet. Satan doesn't like it. And so Satan is always going to be going after those who are actually making a difference. And so that's one of the reasons that we have so many attacks in the United States, where, you know, with the rest of the world, it's kind of like same old, same old. You know, there's not really huge change necessarily, but we have these things going on here, and so we have to expect that things are going to happen. If our culture ever goes down the tubes because of the influence that we've had on the planet, you can expect Satan to come after us with a vengeance. It's why people are so hateful towards Christians in our country. You got like half the population that hate our guts. They have no idea what we actually believe, but they hate our guts. And you can see this all the time on the news and that kind of thing. And if it ever happens that they actually get in control and get to do exactly what they want to, we're going to have a persecution. It's going to happen. You see these things. I'm not doing this to scare you. I'm just letting you know that this is a setup for the end times. You have to have a situation in the end times where the Antichrist rises and all the people on this planet are willing to kill off Christians and Jews. You have to have a situation that brings that about, and I really believe that that's what we're seeing going on around us. Well, if the Lord delays his coming, we're going to have some part of that, right? And so there's going to come a point, if the United States ever goes under, where people are going to have to make choices. And it's not going to be choices about my liberties and what I can and can't do. And I should be able to do whatever I want to, and nobody should be able to talk to me about those things. And if somebody stumbled by it, they should get a spine and move on, because, you know, this is my life and I don't listen to anybody who says anything about me. You could tell what I think of that, right? You know, the Bible talks about the fact that we are not on this planet just to live our own life. We are on this planet to be good witnesses of Christ and to care about other people more than we care about ourselves. That's what we're on the planet for. That's what a Christian is. And way too many Christians in the United States don't do that. When judgment comes, where does it always go first? The house of God. It always starts with the house of God. And so God comes through and he begins purifying the church. And I think that actually, you know, if I saw that coming, I would welcome it. I would welcome it. I think it would be a really good idea. I think it'd be a great idea. Because what God would do is he'd go through and purge out all the fluff. And so anybody who's not serious about walking with Jesus, anybody who's not serious about living for the Lord, actually living for him, is not going to hang around when they can't have a job, when maybe they get picked on specifically in the sense of, oh, you're a Christian, you can't have a job, you can't have a house, you can't do this, you can't do that. Do you understand what's going on in the world? I don't know. Probably about 3 years ago, I was talking about stuff that's going on in China. Actually, they're implementing these things. You know, social media in our country is something where, you know, we just go back and forth on the internet and people flame you. You guys know what flaming is. That's an old term. But, you know, they don't like what you say. And so they just say all kinds of nasty things about you. And they get 5 or 10 people to do exactly the same thing. And they all flame you and get all over your case and that kind of stuff. And social media in the United States is basically a peer pressure type of thing. And more what's been happening is you have entities like Google or Twitter or, you know, or Facebook that are coming in, and they're messing around with things, messing around with algorithms so that the people that they don't like, which include Christians, don't get a voice. Well, this is what the Chinese are doing. What the Chinese are doing is they're taking the whole Facebook thing, and actually Facebook and Google and these companies have been implicit in these things. They're taking their social media and they're making it a system where they can control their society. And so in China right now, this has been going on for about the last 3 years. In China right now, they have a system where you get ranked on social media by points. And so if you say good things, you get points. If you say bad things, you get points taken away. Your friends are the ones who report you to the Chinese government for the point ranking system. If you don't get points, you don't get jobs. You don't get points. You don't get houses. You don't get points. They really go after you, and it's a government control situation. And so China is still a communist country, and so they've always done these kinds of things. And so what they're doing is taking social media, and they're bending that to their will. And basically what they're going after is their populace, and they're going to try to make sure that anybody who is anti-government, and the Chinese include Christians among people who are anti-government, because the Chinese don't want anybody worshiping anything except for the party. And so the Chinese include Christians in that whole thing. And what they do is they make people afraid. You get points based on who your friends are. And so if your friends are not socially acceptable in China on these social media platforms, if your friends are not socially acceptable, you get points taken away. And so then again, you can't have a job and you can't have a place to live and that kind of thing. And so not only are people ostracized for the fact that they have views that go against the government line, they are ostracized because other people are afraid to be friends with people who have views against the government line. And so obviously really tweaked thing. And, you know, I picked this up about 3 years ago, and they were starting to implement it, and now they're serious. They've implemented it in a number of places, and they believe that it's going to be fully implemented by 2020. Got 2 years. And then this is going to be dead set, hard as rock, brick and mortar in China as far as social media goes. And so you could see exactly the same thing happening in the United States. And so we got people who are fighting against the First Amendment, and you know, we have the situations on college campuses where people don't want certain people to speak at the campus, and or they're going to have a riot and that kind of thing. And so this is all stuff that I believe is pointing towards some end times events where you have a situation where you're going to have a dictator, and this dictator is going to dictate social policy, and there are going to be those who are in, and there are going to be those who are out, and ultimately those who are out are going to be killed. That's what you have in the book of Revelation. So whatever part of that we end up seeing, you know, hopefully we have a situation where God turns things around for us and maybe, you know, puts that stuff off 20 or 30 years. That would be a great thing. But that's where it goes ultimately. And I really think that we're seeing some of that. So if they came up to you and said, you need to modify your speech concerning the Jesus stuff, or you can't have a job.
You've been listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our Sunday service times are 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. We hope you have been blessed today, and will join us again next time on Crosswalk.